You're listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media. You can find out more about the resource and construction industry, including how to communicate consciously with your stakeholders at resourceindustrymedia.com.au.
Welcome to the Connecting Industry Podcast, brought to you by Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. I'm Kieran Moran, Managing Director of Resource Industry Media and Connecting Industry. The Connecting Industry Podcast series is designed to tell the stories of the people who work in the resource and construction sector throughout Australia. It's our goal for these podcasts to not only keep you up to date with the latest resource and construction news, information and procurement opportunities, but most importantly, build relationships between you and our guests so you can connect with their stories and get a better understanding of how to communicate and tell your business story right. On this week's Connecting Industry Podcast, we have Ramon Close, founder and CEO of Yindi Manufacturing, an Indigenous company that manufactures office chairs. Ramon is one of the speakers at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference on May 19th, which aims to assist the renewables, construction, engineering and services sector in the planning and implementation of major projects specifically focused on safety, training and community engagement. Ramon believes finding someone a job can change a person's life, and this motto drives Ramon to form great relationships with communities to provide long-term employment opportunities. He created an Indigenous business that worked in Cherbourg, which provided employment opportunities for the local Indigenous community, and over the past 5 years, Ramon has created and implemented several community projects to effect positive change and to better understand the socio-economic challenges Aboriginal people face in the urban and rural communities. As a presenter at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference, Ramon will take delegates on an employment and business journey through the lens of an Aboriginal person who understands the Aboriginal and Western world and the demands and difficulties faced on both sides of the fence. He will discuss the challenges as a business owner working within Aboriginal communities and how to overcome those challenges, including working with the ideologies and constructs within westernised business frameworks. Welcome, Ramon, to the podcast.
G'day, Kieran.
Okay, let's sort of start at the beginning then. So you have created a business, Yindi Manufacturing. What is Yindi Manufacturing?
Yeah, so Yindi Manufacturing is an Indigenous business. It's a business in the area of manufacturing. So I manufacture commercial office chairs.
And what does that involve?
Yeah, so basically most of the components are procured here on shore. We're an Australian-made manufacturer. So we produce our foams, our moulded foams here in Australia, also our plastics. The only component that is imported, unfortunately, is our steel mechanisms, which are imported from China. So we procure all of our components, you know, within Australia. And then basically put all those components together from the fabric, the foams, the plastic backs and bottoms. You know, we create designs in terms of different styles of office chairs, put them together and more or less manufacture to spec and need of our customers.
Well, as we know in Australia, manufacturing's getting, manufacturing locally at home, and of course COVID brought that home a lot for us for manufacturing to be done here in Australia. So why did you start the business?
Yeah, that's correct, Kieran. Given COVID and the restraints it's put on a lot of industries, I chose to engage with a business partner who is a current manufacturer. My last business was in the business of importing, but given COVID and the complexities of importing, I've aligned myself with being a bit more sustainable with my business. So manufacturing here on shore, allows me to have the autonomy to look after my customers in a more timely fashion without the added stress of, wondering, when the container's going to come in, if it's going to come in. We've never seen a pandemic before and I would assume that it's probably not going to be the last. So I think, creating a more sustainable business is where I'd like to head in the future, and it's something I'll promote. Being here in Australia, having an Australian-made business is good for our economy, good for our you know, people here, and it's good for our future generations to bring capacity back home.
Okay then, so you are based in Cherbourg, that's correct?
I have an element of the operation in Cherbourg, but predominantly I am based in Northgate, Brisbane, and I also have partner factories in Sydney, Melbourne and Western Australia.
Okay, so I just wanted to go back a little bit, I suppose, in relation to some of the work that you have done in the past. So you've created and implemented several community projects to effect positive change to better understand, and I'm reading here, of course, the socioeconomic challenges Aboriginal people face in urban and rural communities. Is the part of the business in Cherbourg a factor of the Indigenous community and with jobs and so forth?
Yeah, so the operation I started in Cherbourg. So I started an upholstery operation in Cherbourg. It was very interesting in the startup phase, you know, yarning to both Indigenous and non-Indigenous people about the idea and getting it started there. A lot of people thought it was going to be impossible, you know, due to the logistics and the assumed capacity of the community. But I got an operation up and running there. You know, we have or had an Indigenous upholsterer along with, you know, 5 to 10 staff members, and that was operating for about a year and a half. And then when COVID hit, that was when I had to reassess my business you know, what I was going to do. But whilst I had the business up and running in Cherbourg, I suppose I proved, you know, a lot of people, I wouldn't say wrong, but, you know, proved that, you know, it is definitely achievable to start a business in such a community, you know, given the low capacity in terms of, you know, jobs are there, the capacity of the people to you know, I suppose engage in more high level skilled roles. You know, I took the work out there and, you know, worked with the community, just like you would any business, and slowly but surely built it. And, you know, I was quite surprised in terms of the workmanship that was achieved when I was there. You know, it was achieved to a very high standard, you know, a standard high enough that a national wholesaler was purchasing the product. So, you know, for myself, I definitely surprised myself. I think I surprised a lot of people in terms of what could be achieved if, you know, you put your mind to it and actually, you know, took an operation out to an Aboriginal community. So it was very successful for the time that I was running. But unfortunately, due to COVID, I had to reassess the business and which is, you know, where I'm at now in terms of, you know, manufacturing here more onshore and sort of changing the model to ensure that it's a bit more sustainable, but also still having the ability to be able to offer employment to the Aboriginal community.
Okay, we're speaking to Ramon Close from Indie Manufacturing, and Ramon is actually speaking at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference on May 19. And of course, that's an online conference. And as I said, he's one of the speakers of 7 speakers, but Ramon is actually talking about the community. The title of his presentation is Contractor Success in Regional and Indigenous Communities. And of course, one of the things that I did note you saying there is the assumed capacity of a lot of the people in Indigenous communities. And as you said, a lot of the manufacturing, it's up to high standard. So tell us a little bit about that in relation to maybe as you've used the word assumed and so forth, and your experience of what you did find.
Yeah, you know, Cherbourg's, you know, about 3 hours northwest of Brisbane. I suppose the assumed ideas of, you know, rural communities, whether it's Indigenous or non-Indigenous, is that, you know, the capacity might not be up to scratch. They might be a bit slow there. They might not be, you know, up with the time in terms of, you know, how fast it can be in an urban setting. But you know, after operating out there for a while, you know, I began to notice, you know, the change in our employees. You know, it started off slow like any business, but, you know, after, you know, given training, you know, time, care, you know, working with our employees, you know, you really got to, you know, see what their worth were, was in terms of, you know, what their individual's abilities, you know, towards the actual work was. So, you know, we had some that were really good at upholstering. You know, we had some that were really good in terms of attention to detail. You know, we had employees that were quite good at management, you know, and organising, you know, the work and the workloads and directing other staff. So, you know, I had employees out there, you know, teaching me a thing or two about, you know, the work that we were doing. So it was very, you know, educational, but also refreshing to know that, you know, change can be done in Indigenous communities like Cherbourg. So for me, it was my first experience operating in a Aboriginal community, and proving that, you know, if you took anything out there, really, you know, you could teach anyone to do anything. You know, so to go out there and have firsthand experience to be able to now bring back to the city and share my story with other businesses and society in general, you know, I think it's a, you know, a great opportunity for people to educate themselves on, hey, you know, if we want to do something out there, it's definitely achievable. They're no different to us here in the city. The only difference is that we've got, you know, a bounty of opportunity here in all different areas. Out there, there is no opportunity. So all they need is an opportunity out there. And if they were given opportunities, they would be able to strive just like we do here in the city.
So on your presentation at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference on May 19th, and part of it, as we said, it's a community and contractor success in regional Indigenous communities, because you have had success out there in doing businesses within and around Indigenous communities. And one of the things is, of course, a lot of these wind farms are built in regional communities. And part of this conference is to be able to allow Indigenous people to be able to get onto the opportunities and to work within some of these projects, and not just when they come and go, but also long term. And so some of the things that you will discuss is the challenges as a business owner working with within Aboriginal communities and how to overcome those challenges. What were some of the challenges did you face? Because I'm sure that this is some of the stuff that you'll be bringing across to the conference and letting people understand, you know, how to tackle some of those issues and how to move forward.
Yeah, no, it's a very good very good question. And, you know, I suppose I face the same hurdles many businesses would face, you know, whether operating in an Aboriginal community or not. But I suppose until you actually operate in an Aboriginal community, you know, it's hard to you know, assume the difference. So, you know, one of the first hurdles for me, you know, especially, you know, being Aboriginal myself, was, you know, going out to an Aboriginal community, you know, not knowing, you know, what it's actually like to be in an Aboriginal community Monday to Friday. So, you know, that was the first hurdle, you know, to overcome, to, you know, this ideology of it's this and that and the things you see in the newspaper and, you know, we're not starting it up, oh, you know, it's going to get burned down, and, you know, you're getting these sort of comments from Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. So, you know, firstly, to go out there and you know, adopt a healthy mindset towards the operation was my first hurdle. You know, but it wasn't, you know, it wasn't until maybe about a week in that I sort of realised, wow, you know, all these conversations and comments about this community and you know, all the media is completely untrue. So, you know, after overcoming that hurdle or mentality towards the actual operation and community, that's where our business started to improve and thrive. So that was the first hurdle, overcoming the mindset of, oh, you know, this can't be done, and, you know, people are going to burn it down, this is going to get stolen, that's going to get stolen. Never happened. The building's still standing. The second hurdle, like many businesses face, you know, urban setting or rural setting, reliability in terms of workers. So, you know, I had it was an upholstery operation out there, and this is an operation that hasn't been seen in an Aboriginal community. So the work's completely different. It's completely new, you know, to the community. So when I had employees, you know, first coming into work, it was completely different, you know. had workers that had worked before, had workers that hadn't worked before, and so you'd have workers come in for a day, not come back. You'd have workers come for 2 days, not come back. 3 days, not come back. And then they'd take a day or two off, and then they'd come back. And I suppose in that respect, it was something that I expected, but it was a matter of coming from a place of compassion, understanding the community and where they come from. So I had to work with my employees, and so I'd have workers come in, and if they didn't come in the next day, I'd simply call them, have a yarn on, make sure that they're okay, make sure that they're safe, let them know that it's okay to come back, let them know that they're not going to get in trouble or they're not going to get moved on, So workers would come back, and it was probably after the second, third, fourth time, even fifth or sixth, if I had to, just to show them that it's okay, I get it that this is new, the work's still here. But myself as a business owner, I had to adopt a different approach, a different strategy, in order to make the operation work. So that was my second hurdle, the reliability, in terms of the employees there. Thirdly, the heat. being at a bit west in the summer, Cherbourg can be quite hot. Very hot there, we're working out of a shed, I had to get plenty of fans up, we'd have the workers, working in their singlets, that sort of thing. I was always buying plenty of water, making sure, that my workers were looked after, but the heat played a big factor in upholstering, furniture, upholstery, obviously being a laborious task, wasn't easy, and you definitely had to make sure that the workers were well hydrated, but also supplemented in terms of their nutrition. So that was another element, that we had to consider out in Cherbourg, in terms of educating our staff on, ensuring that they're having breakfast before they come into work, ensure that they're eating nutritional food, because for any laborious tasks, you need the energy in order to work at, optimal level, to complete the work and endure the work Monday to Friday. So that was another hurdle we faced in terms of, ensuring our workers were healthy, but, in time, the workers would take this on board, over the weeks and months, our workers become, healthy and stronger, and even the work in general, we found contributed to their vitality. It may not be quantifiable in terms of, the statistics we discuss, in terms of employability and wellness, health and well-being, but to have a job for a lot of these community members, improve their health, sitting around doing nothing is not good for their health. So for us to be able to offer opportunity in terms of work out there was great.
And that's one thing that I can see on your bio is you believe, and in quotations we've got, finding someone a job can change their life. And it's been interesting to listen to you just then in relation to, people can clock on 9 to 5 or do whatever, but of course you're working within a different community, you're working within a different culture as well, a lot of history, and also working towards a future within the community, and being able to not just to go a lot further in looking after your employees and making sure that they are healthy and that they are right and that they are safe. And that is happening a lot more across the board as well. A lot more people, especially since COVID, are looking for a better work-life balance and so forth like that. But in terms of where you've said finding someone a job can change their life, is there an example you could give of some of the people that did work out there that you did see this work change their life, and in contact with yourself making that happen?
Yeah, definitely. A lot of people aren't aware, that, our Aboriginal communities that are placed around Australia, a lot of them are predominantly government funded, from the government benefits that the community members are on to the organisations that service the community, they're all government funded. You know, so living on a government benefit doesn't get you much in society. You know, it pays for your housing, your electricity, your mobile phone, and what's left over is food. And you know, if you can, you know, picture that, you know, it might be black and gold food or products, you know, which is not highly nutritious. So if a community member's living on the dole, you know, how do you pay for, you know, extracurricular activities? How do you pay for better health? How do you pay for better food? How do you, you know, pay for better opportunities to learn and grow? You can't. So, you know, by offering a job or, you know, giving a job to someone, you know, where, you know, they're currently on $200 a week to then, you know, $600-$700, that drastically changes that person's life, but then also their immediate family as well as extended family members. So, you know, by giving someone an extra, you know, $500-$600 a week, you know, can, you know, vastly improve their opportunities to grow. And if you can do that for an individual long term, that you know, heavily contributes to you know, a positive effect in terms of intergenerational wealth, and that's just offering one job. So, you know, I suppose when I look at, you know, a job can change someone's life, you know, you can go from zero to hero in 1 week of employment, and you know, that feeling is very empowering for an individual to, you know that they can go to a place, do some honest work, get an honest week's wage, be able to look after themselves, pay for things, and then look after their family, and then go back to that place. You know, I think that's a very powerful notion.
Yeah, it certainly is for anybody. It is basically in the end to be able to do exactly that, and you know, to not only look after yourself but your family, but just you know, having something to work towards, no matter who you are. Can definitely pull you out of numerous of things, but give you a pathway. So we're speaking to Ramon Close. He is one of the presenters at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference on May 19th. It's an online conference. So Ramon, as I said before earlier, so you're speaking on the community, and what you mean by, you know, the people in the community and so forth, and the contractor success in regional Indigenous communities. And I've got here that Ramon's business principles of capacity building, culture and care, which we've sort of discussed, will guide attendees through what works and what doesn't in employing Aboriginal people in remote communities. What can people expect as being one of the presenters, one of seven presenters during this conference? What are you hoping to present and get over to the attendees?
Well, I'd like to, you know, I feel storytelling is very powerful, you know, to, you know, for us to share our own individual stories. I think, you know, when people listen to these stories, they can, you know, relate on a personal level, you know, through their experience in their lives. So, you know, I'd certainly like to share a bit of my story in terms of, you know, the journey out in Cherbourg. But then I'd also like to, you know, highlight the different ideologies that we have, you know, whether we're Indigenous or non-Indigenous, coming from the city, in terms of how we look at, you know, rural communities and what can and can't be achieved. I'd also like to, you know, discuss some of the frameworks that are, you know, in our communities, you know, the way that we need to approach, you know, starting businesses and helping the community. You know, we often think that, you know, we have the solutions based on, you know, our successes and our personal fondness of you know, what we've achieved. But, you know, when it comes to helping people, you know, normally people know what's best to help them. You know, so I had to change my culture, really, and the way that I had to approach the community to best help them. So, you know, I'd like to discuss that, you know, certain strategies. I'd like to, you know, also discuss, you know, the different ways you need to engage with the community in terms of, you know, what stakeholders need to be engaged, you know, who you need to talk to in order to get your company's message across the community, in terms of how to best engage the community and have your business or program well received. So we've seen, you know, a lot of approaches in the past, you know, from government and businesses alike. But I think, you know, as time goes on, through trial and error, as a collective, we're starting to build a bit of a formula in terms of how we can best support and empower Aboriginal communities. So I'd like to, you know, share a bit of that as well.
Okay, well, as we said, Ramon, he'll be speaking at the Australian Wind Construction Safety Conference, which the aim of that conference is to assist the renewables, construction, engineering and services sector in the planning and implementation of major projects. It's facilitated, a lot of the speakers are industry leaders, like Ramon there, with shared objectives and values on industry safety, training and community engagement. And of course, Ramon falls into the community engagement, and this is for major wind projects, small wind projects as well across the across Australia. And as we know, predominantly a lot of them are being built in regional communities and as well as close to or within even some Indigenous communities around Australia. But thank you very much for joining us today on the Connecting Industry podcast, Ramon. It's been much appreciated.
No problem. I really appreciate sharing.
You've been listening to the Connecting Industry Podcast interview series with Kira Moran from Resource Industry Media. To find out more about the resource and construction industry, including past podcasts, news and events, go to resourceindustrymedia.com.au.